When witches go riding and black cats can be seen, 'tis a few days till Halloween.
Did you get your special broom parking spot this morning?
Joel, of course, I get it every morning.
Fantastic.
I'm Scara Lyon, and I'm the ghoul-in-chief of communications and marketing.
And I'm Joel Bois, development officer, development officer. I'm mastering the dark arts of communications.
And this is your Howl-oween edition of the Nova Scotia SPCA podcast. Joel, I don't know if we've ever done a podcast together.
We haven't. This is the first time. This is great.
This is exciting for us.
It is.
And the producers who have to like match our voice levels don't know about if they feel the same way.
It's definitely challenging for them.
So I don't know if you know this as a person who works with me, but this is my favorite holiday of the year, Halloween.
I've had the clues. Maybe the pumpkin shirt and all the decoration around your desk. So there are subtle cues. Yes.
And it's a holiday. This isn't a debate, time to debate. October 31st, it's a holiday. Everyone stand to attention on that.
Yes, it's like your Christmas, right?
It is my Christmas. Yeah. Does that harken back to what you just said about me riding a broom?
Do you give out gifts?
I do in a way give out gifts, yes, but I can't go into it because some of the people who might get Halloween boo baskets are in the room with me right now.
Oh, something to look forward to. Fantastic.
Now, today we're going to talk about myths and about companion animals in a spooky setting. And we're not going to do a lightning round like we normally do a fetch, but what is your favorite Halloween movie?
Oh, that's a good question. When I grew up, I was not much into the scary movies. I was kind of left out on that. And so a lot of people, there are a lot of people who have their favorite scary movie, horror movie. And for me, I always found them kind of dumb, which is crazy, but the ones that would creep me out would be like Paranormal Activity or The Conjuring, things that seemed kind of real. But as for Halloween movie, I'm drawing a blank. I can't really think of anything.
You and I are from the same generation, the same vintage.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking back to when we were kids and what kids today would be like, that's not scary.
Yeah, I have one.
What's yours?
Gremlins 2.
Gremlins 2.
Yeah, a lot of people find that ridiculously stupid, but I thought it was hilarious and I loved it. And maybe not so scary, but they can get creepy.
You know what that is? That is what Die Hard is to the Christmas movie answer.
Yes.
For a Halloween answer.
That's right, because I love Die Hard 2, and it is a Christmas movie, but we can't talk about that right now.
Now, do you love Die Hard 2, TWO, or Die Hard as well?
I liked all Die Hards. First one's the best, though.
Same with Gremlins?
I like the second one more than the first. I think it's because I saw it more, and that's probably why. And I was a Howie Mandel fan growing up, and not a lot of people know that Howie Mandel is Gizmo, and that's Howie Mandel's voice. He was Gizmo there, but... Yeah, you didn't know that?
No, fun fact.
Ooh, fun fact. Yes, Howie Mandel did the voice of Gizmo in Gremlins. He's all like, just little voices like that.
But, well, if anybody's going to be at Halloween trivia, you just might have helped them win.
Oh, perfect.
And I think today's episode of the podcast has some more fun facts that might help them win.
Yes.
Shall we get into the stories?
Let's get into it.
We start from where I'm from. From deep within Celtic mythology, now intertwined with Scottish folklore, the Cat She is a fairy creature who possesses supernatural powers. Imagine a large black cat that is said to be the size of a dog. Like a lot of cats we see at the SPCA, it has a white spot on its chest, but that's paired with glowing eyes.
I don't think we've seen ones like that in the shelter often. Green eyes, maybe, glowing, I don't know.
Some stories claim it can stand on its hind legs and is able to communicate in human speech. Can you imagine, Joel, what our cats would say if they could talk?
I don't want to know.
They would for sure say, get me this food, then leave.
Yeah. I think they would probably call me an idiot. That'd be one.
They'd be like gremlins too. But is it a cat or a witch? A common belief of this myth is that the cat she is a witch who can transform into a cat 9 times. So the next time you say a cat has 9 lives, look to see if their eyes are glowing. This is one instance of cats being tied to witches, but also a link between cats and 9 lives. Samhain, which is the Gaelic festival that later evolved into Halloween, is an especially important time for the cat she. It's believed that during Samhain, the veil between the living and the dead is at its thinnest. This is what allows the cat she to cross over and roam the earth. And like all cats, it has demands. In order to appease it, people would leave out saucers of milk for it. This was in the hope of receiving its blessing. To not leave out a saucer of milk was to risk being cursed. Can you guess what the curse would be, Joel?
I cannot, no.
Your cow's milk would dry up.
That would be devastating, especially back then. Seems counterintuitive, you know, the cat wanting milk.
Another story involves the Scottish wake rituals, Fail Fula Dichi. The belief was that the cat she would steal the soul of the deceased before it could be claimed by the gods. In order to prevent this, families came up with different rituals to try and distract the cat she. Some of these include playing games, making a racket, and catnapping, which means watching over the bodies until they were safely buried. So now, if someone accuses you of making a racket at a wake, you can say you're protecting your loved one's soul from being stolen.
What about when you were making a racket just in the office?
What are you trying to say about me, Joel?
We all know. You might think your cat is just judging you from the windowsill, but for centuries, people believed some cats were far more sinister. Our next tale comes straight from the dark corners of superstition. Cats serving as witches, familiars. What exactly is a familiar? Sarah, you're putting you on the spot. Do you know what that is?
I mean, I'm familiar with a lot of things. I'm familiar with a lot of trash TV shows and the stars of those.
Well, in the medieval imagination, it was a kind of demon that took the form of an animal and served a witch in exchange for a pact with the devil. Important to note, this was a belief held by church authorities. No actual witches were ever proven to exist. Creepily enough, these familiars were said to suckle on the witch, feeding on her blood in exchange for magical aid. Cats, dogs, toads, ferrets, ravens, weasels, even insects could supposedly serve in this role. If you're accused of witchcraft, the stories basically said you couldn't win. Any pet might incriminate you. Would you have any pets that would incriminate you, Sarah? Not like I'm saying you're a witch, but I'm just saying.
Nobody throw a bucket of water over me.
There you go. Familiars were believed to whisper secrets, fetch hidden knowledge, or carry out curses on command. Any pet owner listening knows the truth. Getting a cat to obey a command is tough enough without expecting them to fetch gossip on your neighbor.
Hold up. Because of my trash TV familiar, if I had a cat who could go next door and get the tea, I'm going to be adopting tons of them.
I think a lot of people would. Imagine that. They got your little spies going, your little furry spies.
Salem, is the tea spicy today?
Salem would find those answers for you. So during the witch hunting hysteria in Europe between the 15th and 17th centuries, familiars became a key piece of evidence. Interrogators looked for what they called a witch's mark, a mole, a blemish, or anything that could be interpreted as a feeding spot for a familiar. Sometimes accused witches would even confess the names of their familiars or claim the animal asked for their soul. But these confessions were extracted under torture. In other words, completely false. You'd agree with that, bro.
That's so sad. I mean, I am Gaelic, right? I'm Scottish. And so I have a lot of freckles.
Guilty.
I would be doomed.
I think a lot of people can relate to that. Cats bore the brunt of suspicion. Black cats were admired for their hunting skills, but feared for their nocturnal habits and eerie stare. So eager was the church to stamp out pagan practices that Pope Gregory the Ninth's decree in the 1230s led to mass killings of cats.
Oh, that's sad.
Sorry, cat lovers. Some historians even speculate this contributed to the spread of the Black Death, since fewer cats meant more rats. Ugh, terrible. So next time your cat knocks over your coffee or stares at nothing in the corner, just remember, maybe they're innocent, or maybe in medieval Europe, they could have been plotting your doom.
Listen, if a cat knocks over my coffee, yes, they are, because I can't go through my day without a coffee.
Exactly. You can just make another coffee.
But then the cat plotting would knock it off again. Yeah.
Poor black cats. We know somebody. I mean, there's somebody, one of our coworkers who has a black cat, loves black cats. It's so sad that black cats get a bad name. Don't you agree?
They really do. Yeah.
Now, have you experienced maybe an animal in your past doing something creepy?
I think it's always eerie when you have an animal and they are just staring so intently, like in your last story, at something. And I kind of think, yeah, maybe it is a ghost. Maybe they can see, because we know that animals can experience, you know, the weather differently. Like, yes. Maybe it is a ghost.
I know. And then sometimes for me, my dog will bark out of nowhere. Mm-hmm. And it will startle us. Sometimes we'll be watching TV. It might be a quiet bark and she'll just start barking like someone's at the door. Nothing. Nothing's there.
Or is something there?
Or is it? Going for a happier take on cats and mythology, we're moving over to ancient Egypt. Ancient Egyptians worshipped cats. They were associated with the goddess Bastet, who was connected to protection and the afterlife. To kill a cat, even if it was an accident, was a crime punishable by death. The Egyptians also believed that cats could carry messages between the living and the dead. Some people had their cats mummified to ensure they would join them in the afterlife. Now, we briefly touched on Bastet, but you may still be wondering, who is she? Bastet was a lioness warrior goddess. That is quite the name. Imagine being called a lioness warrior goddess.
Well, thank you so much, Joel. That's so kind of you to say.
You're like, I am called that, Joel. The earliest iconography depicted her with the slender body of a woman and the head of a lioness. During the later New Kingdom, she was depicted with a cat's head, and it became her primary symbol after 1100 BC. Cats were instrumental in hunting and killing disease-ridden mice in homes and crops. Think back to the church trying to wipe out cats and being potentially responsible for the spread of the Black Death becoming worse. Bastet was the goddess of home, fertility, childbirth, protector of the pharaoh, and defender of the sun god. She would be depicted guiding the spirits of the dead to the afterlife. Some myths say she was the daughter of the sun god Ra, sister of Raku. I think we're just going to keep that in, Sarah, because I do not even know how to pronounce those names. Well, can you throw me a bone and help me out with those?
Sekhmet.
Let's ask for producers. Does that sound right? Yeah, I think they're giving us the nod on that. Cats are known for their grace and poise. In ancient Egypt, they were seen as symbols of beauty and grace. Cats were also thought to bring good fortune and to act as protective amulets against evil spirits. They were used to control the populations of rats, mice, and snakes, helping to protect food supplies and contributing to public health.
A fact that you didn't put in there, too, is probably the makeup trend of cat eye. Okay. I'm going to say comes from this. As well.
This makes me want to have a cat. This makes me want to love cats more, knowing cats have this kind of influence.
Well, I mean, in this story, the cat's nice.
Yes.
In other stories, cats knock my coffee off the table. So. Yes.
And I know we're talking a lot about cats, but there are some dogs that we can mention this, because dogs are protectors in the Egyptian times as well. So household guardians, dogs were kept as pets and believed to ward off evil spirits, just like cats. Amulets and symbolism, dog-shaped amulets were worn for protection, and dogs were often depicted in tombs alongside their owners, which is quite interesting because I feel like we've seen that mostly about cats. It's kind of nice to know that the dogs weren't forgotten in Egyptian times.
Joel, are you ready for a story?
Ooh, I love stories. Can I get some popcorn?
You can. Well, you get your popcorn, I'll start. We found this story online, and it's So adorable, says producer Catherine, that we just had to share it with you. Please note that as it's a story, there may be different variations of the story. Popcorn ready?
Popcorn's ready.
As the moon rose high in the pitch black sky, a small black cat appeared seemingly out of thin air. The cat's fur glistened under the pale moonlight, and its eyes shimmered with an otherworldly glow. It arrived in a small village that lay nestled among rolling hills, captivating the attention of its inhabitants. Whispers of the cat's arrival spread like wildfire, sparking curiosity and intrigue throughout the village. Some believed the cat to be a messenger from the spirit world, while others saw it as a symbol of good fortune. Regardless of interpretation, the village's fascination with the mysterious feline grew with each passing moment. As days turned into weeks, the cat's peculiar habits and uncanny traits captivated the villagers even more. It was said that the cat possessed the ability to understand human emotions, offering comfort and solace to those in need. In times of sorrow, it would silently sit by, providing a calming presence that eased troubled hearts. Beyond its emotional connection with the villagers, the cat also exhibited extraordinary physical feats. It was rumored to walk effortlessly along rooftops under the cover of darkness, never making a sound. Its agile figure and ethereal presence left the villagers in awe, further fueling their curiosity about this enchanting creature. As Halloween approached, the village became immersed in a flurry of activity, preparing for the annual celebration. The cat's presence infused an added sense of enchantment throughout the festivities, leaving an indelible mark on the occasion. The villagers adorned their homes with intricate Halloween decorations, inspired by the mysterious cat that had captured their hearts. Black cat figurines were prominently displayed, symbolizing protection and guiding spirits towards a peaceful afterlife. Its presence became a cherished tradition, reminding the villagers of the cat's role as the guardian of their spiritual well-being.
See, black cats aren't all bad.
They're not all bad. On the fateful Halloween night, as children roamed the streets, dressed in costumes and armed with empty bags, the villagers' hero prowled alongside them. The cat became a familiar sight, leading the trick-or-treaters from door to door, its glowing eyes shining like beacons of excitement and adventure. It seemed as though the cat was imbued with the spirit of Halloween itself, bringing joy and laughter to all who encountered it. Kind of like me in the office.
I like that.
As the village reveled in the Halloween festivities, a dark cloud loomed on the horizon. Unbeknownst to the villagers, a treacherous storm approached, threatening to unleash its fury and dampen the joyful spirits. But our captivating cat had other plans. As the rain poured and thunder rumbled, children and adults alike sought shelter. Panic filled the air as the storm threatened to wash away the magic of Halloween. However, our feline protagonist refused to let darkness prevail. With swift determination, it darted through the rain-soaked streets, its meows resonating with a sense of urgency. The cat arrived at the village center, where a bonfire stood tall, ready to be lit in celebration. With a miraculous display of agility and precision, the cat leapt over the pile of wood. As the cat leapt over, a mystical spark ignited the wood. The flames roared to life, dancing in defiance of the storm and reigniting the spirit of Halloween.
I would love some Halloween music after that. What is your favorite Halloween song?
My favorite Halloween song? Oh, that's that's such a good one. I mean, I think I have to go Thriller. Because I like to do the dance moves, right? Like, don't catch me with Thriller playing, because no matter where I am, I'm going to be dancing.
And I guess it's good that we don't have a video podcast, because I think both of us would start doing the dance right now. We start doing the clap in the air.
Oh my gosh, yeah. All of it. It just, and I don't know the history behind the song Thriller, but if it wasn't meant for Halloween, what a lightning bolt of just genius, because it's become that, you know?
Yes.
I love it.
I love that too. The video is great. It's so old, but still stands the test of time, I think.
Yeah. So we talked a lot about cats. I would love to see that cat as a little like cartoon or something for kids. Yes. About the cat with saving Halloween, because that's That's when I get on Team Cat, is when the cat saves Halloween from a storm. I have been through enough Halloweens in snowsuits, in rain jackets, covering my costume, that I would love for, I'm Team Cat if they can save a Halloween from a storm.
So that cat got to your heart there.
The cat did get to me. Yeah. You know, when we do Team Cat versus Team Dogs this year, well, I might be switching team to Team Cat. Yeah. You never know.
It has to be a Halloween cat, I'm guessing. It
does have to be a Halloween cat. But, you know, I am Team Dog. So do you have some more examples of dogs?
I do. I found some mentions of dogs because we talk a lot about cats. These poor dogs. But when we say poor dogs, I guess it may mean dogs are like, yes, we're just cuddly. We're not scary like those evil cats, but there are some scary stories of dogs. What about the furry phantoms of folklore? Like, look up the Black Dog of the Hanging Hills. Have you heard of the Black Dog of the Hanging Hills?
I have not. Are you going to tell us more?
I'll tell you a little bit about it. So these are large, shaggy, and black with fiery eyes dogs. These ghostly dogs are supposedly evil spirits haunting places where evil deeds have been done. In some cases, are even an omen of death. I love it that I have pronunciation problems. I struggle sometimes saying some words because some common names for these spirits are, and you can help correct me, Black Shuck. Is that one? Okay. Padfoot. That seems pretty easy. Mouth Doog. It's D-O-O-G. I would love it if some listeners here can message us and say, hey, Joel, this is how you pronounce this. Mm-hmm. Mouth Doog. And let's go to the Bargahest. So if Sarah has trouble pronouncing that as well, especially with her Scottish background there, then I know, okay, I'm not the only one. You know, I did say I wanted to pronounce these. So in Essex, England, at the Star Inn hangs the head of a bull terrier named Essex, who is said to haunt the passage leading to the bar. He seems to appear only to other dogs, who will stiffen and growl the moment they set foot in that passage.
I think sometimes to maybe some bar patrons who've stayed there, welcome probably at the pub too, that it appears.
Maybe these people have also drank too much. What about Cerberus? Do you know the stories of Cerberus? Do you know what Cerberus is?
I know the name, but I couldn't tell you.
So in Greek mythology, Cerberus, often regarded as the Hound of Hades, is a three-headed dog that guards the gates of the underworld.
Okay.
Yes.
That would be scary.
Now it's mostly to keep people in. I don't think he would say, hey, you can't enter the depths of hell.
Right.
He would say, once you're here, you can't leave.
Right.
Now here's a fun one. Garmer. Garmer. How do you think? Do you think I'm pronouncing that correctly?
I think Garm.
Garm. Garm's a simple way to say it. So part of North mythology, when Ragnarok begins, the final battle of gods and monsters, Garm is there. So his blood-streaked muzzle and howling mark, one of the apocalyptic signs that the end has begun. So that's creepy enough. Mm-hmm. Kusith?
Kushi.
Ah, Kushi, a giant green fairy hound from Scottish folklore. So, of course, Sarah knows that one. Silent until it lets out three terrifying barks. Then it's too late. Have you heard of this then?
Heard three terrifying barks to tell me the end is near?
I'm more on the giant green fairy hound.
There's a lot of fairies in Celtic folklore.
That's going to be another podcast, I'm sure. Anubis. An intimidating jackal-headed Egyptian god of the dead, guiding souls to the afterlife. Probably shouldn't have mentioned that in our Egyptians. Huh? Oh, see, hold on, a producer. Anubis. There we go. Anubis. Gwelgi. 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 G-W-Y-L-L-G-I. Welsh folklore, the name Gwelgi roughly means the dog of darkness or the dusk dog. So it's a huge black dog with fiery, glowing red eyes and a coat as dark as midnight. Some tales say it drips shadow, others that its fur shines like coal in the moonlight. Interesting. It's said to haunt lonely country roads, crossroads, and remote lanes in Wales. So travelers walking alone at night might feel a presence following them. And when they turn, they see Gwelgi watching from the darkness. That would be creepy. So remind me not to walk on the streets there at the dark alone.
So let's debunk a myth that a lot of people, and, you know, as the ghoul chief of communications and marketing, I get asked this a lot. Black cats.
Yes.
And what myth do you want to bust about black cats?
Well, I guess we kind of touched on it a little bit. The most famous superstition, you know, if black cat crosses the road, right, you shouldn't go there. It's bad luck. I think that's the superstitions with black cats, right?
Well, and it's in places like Scotland, Japan, parts of England, a black cat crossing your path is actually a sign of good luck.
Oh, interesting.
And I think the truth is black cats are just as loving, playful, and magical as other cats, and that we do adopt out black cats in October.
Wow.
So if you're looking for a black cat, we have them all year long.
That's right. And they're adorable, cute, loving, just like any cat.
Mm-hmm.
What about dogs? Is there any myth to debunk about dogs?
I mean, I think dogs are just the best, and no, there's no myths about them. They're just the best.
Yeah. Carry on. Let's move on. Yeah. I mean, there is the howling, I guess, means trouble. I guess if someone hears a dog's howling, it means some trouble. But for centuries, people believed that it was a warning of death or danger. The truth, dogs howl for a lot of reasons. Communication, attention, response to sirens, or sometimes just because it feels good. So if your dog suddenly starts howling more than usual, it could be a sign of anxiety, pain, or hearing changes, and or just fun. But in that case, it's worth checking with your vet and not to worry about ghosts. And checking with your vet. There's Tartan Tales here, the Nova Scotia SPCA. So check out Tartan Tales. We'll check out why the dog's howling for you.
So before we finish today's spooky podcast, we just want to remind our pet families out there that in all fun and games, there is some safety concerns around Halloween. And mm-hmm. So how can pet families have a safe Halloween?
All right. Well, let's start with chocolate and candy. Your house is going to be filled up with all that chocolate and candy going trick-or-treating. So just be careful keeping it away from your pets. And not even just the candy itself, but the wrappers. A lot of people will keep the candy away from them and just throw the wrapper on the table or on the ground. But the wrappers can be dangerous for your pets as well. Jack-o'-lanterns. I mean, people love carving pumpkins. Be careful with all the guts and all the stuff that comes with the pumpkin carving, because they could be a choking hazard and could be harmful. That raw kind of guts could be harmful, obviously, for your pets. And I know not many people use real fire nowadays for their pumpkins, their jack-o'-lanterns. They use those little electric battery lights. But if you are using real fire, be careful. Your pet might, you know, burn themselves or knock it over and start a fire. And
be lastly, careful with those battery lights too, with those little,
that is true,
those little batteries. Yeah.
Yeah. Just, I would turn them off. Don't keep them on for long periods of time. And while it's a scary time for many people, I mean, there's some scary costumes from kids. A lot of people like doing some spooky surprises, but where other people are scared, well, so can your pets. People are coming to the door. There's jump scares, loud noises. So it's a good idea to have a safe space for your pets during this time.
Bring something that they find comforting, like their blanket or their toys, and let them enjoy the peace while you go out and enjoy the scares.
Exactly. Fun times for all.
If you enjoyed listening to this podcast, you could celebrate Halloween by giving us 5 stars.
Yep.
By subscribing.
That's right.
And by sharing this podcast with others.
Exactly. Share with your friend. Text, Facebook, Instagram, share with.
And have a wonderful Halloween holiday.